Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I am he, and he is I, Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, the Queen of Tofu, the leader of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack. Sometimes they call her Amy Mack. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's always as long as it starts with an A.
It does matter. Shots fired already.
I've still got the wounds from yesterday. And the most vanilla man in Atlanta radio, the worst wave you'll ever see. And a lover of some cereals, but not many that people like, Mr. Dylon Matthews on the ones and twos. And we are not live from Atlanta Falcons training camp today because it is not an open practice. So if you go up there and stand in line early, you will be standing in line for a while. And you'll be watching from the road, not the hill. But they'll be back tomorrow and Sunday. I do believe that both of those are sold out. Mike will be back there. Actually, 99 The Game will be there tomorrow and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Allie and myself will return on Tuesday. Mike Johnson will return on Sunday up there with the most vanilla man radio over there, Dylon Matthews. They'll do a little show.
Yeah, posted up like two mailboxes out there in the fan zone.
That's right.
Yeah, a lot of changes are in the air, it feels like, because we might have some changes on our baseball team. Obviously, our Falcons roster is a very large one right now, and it will be dwindling down as the weeks go on during training camp, and eventually they'll get to 53 with a 16-man practice squad. But right now, we just got to reminisce about what we saw yesterday, Miss Allie.
Well, you know how I know I wasn't built to be an NFL player.
Breaking news.
When did you come to that realization?
Let's open the window to that.
When I woke up, or first of all, when I got home yesterday and I'm exhausted, and then waking up this morning and I'm still exhausted, and those guys had practice all day. Like, I'm just exhausted from going and watching. But they are out there in the heat, trying their best at every single thing they do. And it just has to be just, first of all, a mind game. And then the physical exertion they're putting into everything is just so, so much. I have so much respect for them after being out there at that camp yesterday.
One of the hardest things to do, I think, is through progression. We talked about kind of the difference between a rookie and a veteran, or even a freshman and an upperclassman in college, is to be able to go out and actually focus on getting better. You know what I mean? Like, too many times when you're young in the profession, or like I said, when you show up to school, you focus on like literally surviving the day and just being like, man, I got to get through this rep. Hopefully I don't get beat for a sack. And to be able to actually go out there and kind of have a mental checklist of like, I need to get better with my left hand in this punch, or my step, my step's just too far. I need to take it from 12 inches to 6 inches or whatever, on my first step. It like that is how you really start sending things to the next level. And that's why when you hear people say, hey, I'm more comfortable this year, I'm kind of settled in, I get to focus a little bit better on things I need to do, it's usually about like, I'm not trying to get past the practice and just survive. I'm actually going to focus on things that I can do to make myself a better football player. And once you enter that mindset, and I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago because John Gordon was in here with Steak, and who's the author of The Energy Bus, which we read during training camp. That a lot of that is about that, like focus on the now and focus on trying to actually improve yourself on a daily basis, not about the, oh my God, it's hot. Oh my God, I'm exhausted. And, some of those guys are trying to move through that right now. So you can kind of see that in a lot of those guys' eyes out there on the field.
Well, let me set the table for the show today because we have a lot going on because training camp is going to be a massive topic. But coming up at 6:20, we do have some audio from Dukes and Bell during their show yesterday. They did speak with Michael Penix Jr. So we're going to replay that interview for you, 6:40, my Mac drop. It's the Rookie Report edition. I've got some receipts for someone.
Uh-oh.
Got some audio to play for you.
Just say me. It's always me.
Just don't.
That's not true. She came at me about Greg the other day.
Don't say someone and stare at me. Okay? That's what she just did.
7 a.m. We had a chance to talk with Drake London, so we're going to play that for you. 7:40, it is Fair or Foul Friday. And 8:20. Grant McCauley will join us to talk about these Braves. Bo, what were some of your observations from yesterday out at Falcons training camp?
A few. Well, first off, I'm very disappointed. I don't know if we'll get to talk to him this camp, but Caleb McGarry cut his hair.
Oh.
And I love the Viking look on Caleb McGarry, and he kind of went buzz cut, I guess, for camp. But I don't know. Is this something about like an offensive tackle with Viking hair that just kind of like, I think that's a cool look, and it kind of is an intimidating look maybe for defensive linemen. There was a few things. It's weird watching Kirk run with the twos. I think
he looked healthy though.
He did.
He looked healthy.
He did.
He was doing a drill where he did a boot and rolled out, and I thought it was as sharp as I've seen a ball come out of his hands since he's been here. And
I agree.
It's a little different for him running with the twos because there's not a familiarity with that group and the crispness is not there. But he did look strong, and he looked healthy is a good way to put it. I want to point one thing. I know we talked about this, but don't read into a lot of when you go through the
trying to help you out, but I'm
rotations.
Okay,
early
yeah.
rotations.
Yeah, rotations.
Early rotations, especially on defense, because I was asking Arch about this, and I was like, "What should I read into Jordan Fuller being with what appears to be the ones?" And he was like, "I don't know, not much." And I was like, "Does that mean he's I should think he's a day one starter?" And he's like, "Well, veterans earn these spots, right? When they come into camp with a new team or whatever, and there's not a defined starter at a position, you're going to roll a veteran right in there most of the time because, one, you've earned it, two, you kind of have more of a feel of what people are asking for." And so I say that because if you see certain guys in certain rotations right now, that doesn't necessarily mean that's how it's going to be. Now, it doesn't not mean that.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily say that's the starter right now. I don't think Jordan Fuller – I think if the season started today, you would probably start Jordan Fuller because he's a veteran and he can understand kind of the assignments better than a guy who's had one training camp practice under them, right? But that doesn't mean that that's going to be the way they roll in, even to the first preseason game, Mike.
Yeah, I think that you're spot on with that. I'm in agreeance, though. I think that if you were starting today, that he would definitely be the guy. And it's not just about, like, veteran presence. It's understanding of the defense at this point, right? And a lot of it comes down to numbers. When you do the split field early in practice, which a lot of the Twitter – feedback yesterday about training camp is about, hey, how are these guys split up? The older starter, whatever you want to call them, is on one field, and then kind of the other group is on the other field trying to make sure everybody can get as many reps as they can to kind of start practicing 11-on-11 drills. And you did look up and you saw Jordan Fuller, and I know there's a bunch of other people that I want to get to throughout the day that were on this field and some that were not. But, yeah, I mean, he's a guy who is a veteran. He's a guy who is obviously in a starting battle. And I think at this point he probably does have a hand up. Anybody who is taking those beginning reps next to Jesse Bates is probably in the driver's seat, I would say, but it doesn't mean anything long term at all. It's just a simple matter of, hey, I need enough safeties on this field. I need enough safeties on that field. And so you can't ever read too much into it, even though there is certain people, throughout the Twitter sphere that want to read as much as possible into those kind of things. It's just not always what you perceive it to be.
After the first game every year, the next day's overreaction Monday, because half the teams are gonna win the Super Bowl and the other half are going 0-17, and it's sky is falling and it's we are the greatest thing since sliced bread. So that's what a lot of people do after day one. Like I'm seeing like the Kyle Pitts hype right now is out of control again. Oh, dude, look how great he looked. He's a monster. He's unbelievable. He's back to the 2021 version. Well, he might be. We don't know.
We said it. Like, remember what he looked like at second year high school last year?
Yeah.
It looked like exactly like yesterday.
Yeah, so grain of salt with a lot. I thought it was interesting. I'm sitting there watching with my number one fan, Dave Archer. He's a huge fan of me and everything I do. And we're watching some practice together, and we're watching what looks to be the ones on defense. And you look on the edge, and there's Khalid Kareem.
Yeah.
With his hand in the dirt on the edge. And I was like, that's interesting. Didn't see that. Jalen Walker ran a lot with the twos yesterday. Correct me if you think I'm wrong. I felt he was out he would go out there before or after James Pierce. Like, James Pierce was going out on the field at times. And again, they're rolling through rotations. That's what I'm saying. Don't overreact to that, right?
Well, but, yeah, and here's what I will say, and I know that we're going to be up against it in just a second. There was one thing that I wanted to look for when we first got on the field. Like, the one thing that my eyes, as soon as we walked out there, that I glued to, and that was the front, the personnel up front. Not only that, but how exactly they were lined up. They were lined up in a 3-4 front when we walked out there. And it was almost exclusively in a 3-4 front yesterday, which there's been a lot of conversation about 4-3, 3-4, you know, splitting gaps, getting in the backfield, things like that. But that rotation up front was Leonard Floyd and Arnold Vacadie on the edges at the outside linebacker spots. And it was Morgan Fox, David Onyemata, and Zach Harrison at the interior three spots. There was not a and look, like I said, you take all of this with a grain of salt. These are veteran players, this, that, and the other. But I wanted to see how they were lined up and what personnel was in those, you know, those lineup spots. And that was the first thing my eyes immediately went to when I walked out there.
Saw a lot of Rook as well.
A lot of Rook yesterday as well, yeah.
Arch and I were talking about this, and, you know, this defense feels attacking and aggressive, which is Ulbrich's kind of M.O.
They're going to have to be.
Well, and that's that's the thing. And the problem with that type of defense, though, is you will get gashed. They will gash you on some run plays because, you know, they can pin you. But guys, defensive ends and defensive linemen can be so aggressive, they'll get pinned, right? And the guys will go around them. They'll create holes. But Rook, you know, if he can come on and play in that and really get off in that type of defense, it could be he could play if he did like he did at Clemson. It could be good for this team.
And it's going to be – that's going to be suited more to what he's able to do. You know what I mean? He's going – hey, look, just get in the backfield and create violence. And I thought – I saw that a number of times, not only from him yesterday, but I also noticed it from David Onyemata at number of times yesterday, which is not what he's used to be doing from the nose spot.
It kind of explains why they didn't go and get a real space eater or maybe bring back Eddie Goldman.
I think you can talk that into a circle if you want. They did not go and get a space heater, so you know what we are? We're going to rip into the backfield.
I tell you, we don't
have that guy. Let's, you know what? Now that we think about it, yeah, we're going to rip into the backfield.
There was one guy that was a lot, it looks a lot bigger than I thought. A lot. I know that we got to get to break.
I was going to say there's also one guy we have not talked about that is the only rookie that I wanted to talk about after yesterday.
Well, there is so much to unpack with Falcons training camp day one. I mean, I even have a few questions for you guys, but coming up next, we've got Michael Penix on the way. He joined Dukes and Bell. We will let you hear that interview next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.